Hey guys.
It is. Oh, he's
intro's going around again. whoa. Intro's keen to get in. Hey guys, it's me, Dave Shaw. Welcome to Broad Street to Britain with myself and of course Alex Carr. Alex, how are you, buddy?
Greetings, sir. I'm doing well. Busy, but can't complain.
It is summer has officially arrived. It is baking hot here in the UK. For you guys, like it's what, 87, 88? It's like, yeah, I know.
It's like a not good, that, it's a good.
Not that hot for you guys, but for us.
Oh, you mean over by you. Oh, man, I thought you meant over for us, yeah.
This is hot. This is hot for us now. Like, we've had 3 weeks of back-to-back sunshine. And we're true British. We have a whole winter of wet, windy, miserable weather. And we all go, can't wait for the summer to get here. The first day of summer arrives, it's real hot. You're like, yes, I'm going to do so much. I'm going to be out every day. I'm going to barbecues and get out and about to the beach every weekend. And then you're 3 days into it, you're like, it's too hot. It's too hot. But it's nice. It's beautiful outside. The humidity is roasting today. So, yeah. But the summer is back. The weather's warmed up. And so are the Phillies. And I say it tentatively, the Phils are back, Alex. Where are you? Are we back? I'm saying it tentatively because the more I think about this Diamondback series coming up, the more I'm like, ooh, West Coast, up on the West Coast. But Alex, where are you with this recent Phils run?
It's nerve-wracking, right? Because, you know, it seems like every time they start to kind of figure it out a little bit, a West Coast trip comes up. And
right.
It's just, I mean, I can't name a single place on the western half of the United States where the Phillies don't have nightmares occur.
It's true.
So it's, you know, it's unfortunate, but conversely, everything is looking like the arrow is pointing upwards, right? I mean, there's sustainable success coming from Nick Castellanos, which is absolutely huge. Trey Turner has clearly made some adjustments. It's even visible on him, but he's some way better swings. Bryce Harper's starting to swing the bat a little bit more. Not that he was ever struggling to begin with, but Kyle Schwarber finally got his FWAR total out of the basement. He's broken even. So, you know, hopefully we see a little bit more out of him. In general, offense looks great, looks consistent. Alec Bohm is back. Cody Clemens is providing more than nothing, which is great.
Yeah, we're going to get to Cody in a bit. Yeah,
absolutely huge. And then the rotation is pitching like a real starting rotation. Taiwan Walker has like a 2-something ERA over his last 5 starts. Zach Wheeler is pitching really, really, really well. Aaron Nola showing some holes, really struggling with the long ball, but in general is pitching, you know, like a guy that can give you 6 innings of 3-run baseball. It really is starting to feel like things are clicking a little bit. And look, with the trade deadline coming, I mean, it's insane. I looked at the calendar today and I saw June 12th and I was like, wow, we're like getting there. Like, it's really, and usually the first half of the season for me is like, I'm like, okay, but let's get to the trade deadline. Let's see what the finished product is going to look like, right? Because it's a very famous thing to at the start of a baseball season, look at your team and go, they're okay. They have some holes, whatever. And then by the trade deadline, you're looking at a completely different baseball team. Prospects have been called up. The guys have been traded for. Injuries have already happened. You know, things are looking very, very different by July. So I'm really looking forward to that part of the season as well. The draft is coming up. I mean, everything, I'm excited. This is my favorite part of the season. The draft trade deadline, this is everything for me. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and the All-Star breaks on the horizon, and the second half of the season is when we really start to get going.
Yep.
It's summer. It's summer, baby. You know, here we go. We're in full baseball season now. What a week for the Phils since, the 3rd of June, Saturday in Washington, the 4-2 win, which was huge at the time because we had just been swept by the Mets. We just lost game 1 to the Nats.
And Mets, by the way, what is going on over there?
Oh, you hate to see it, don't you?
As somebody who now lives in New York City, it's quite funny to me to be able to slowly catch the downfall of the New York Mets while living in the city. You know, I'm always an advocate for their failure, so that is awesome to see. So that's been pretty fun to watch. I can't lie.
Oh yeah, and UK Mets online, the other UK Mets accounts who were all sending me and tagging me in the sweet videos. Oh, how you gloated! And I was, you know what? I sat back and said nothing because I kept believing the Mets were gonna Met. And here we are, guys. Oh, the Mets have collapsed. Their fills are picking up, and just a bit of a quiet fist pump. It's like, okay, I let you guys have your moment. I let you all gloat. I didn't reply much in all the tags. I was like, okay, have your moment. And yeah, look where we are now. But what a week for the Phils. The sweep in Detroit was huge. So much good stuff. And I know the Tigers are bad. We had no hit games going into the sixth inning in nearly all the games, you know, but you've got to beat what's in front of you. And the Phils did that in all sorts of different ways. You know, the 1-0, it was tight, gritty, you know, and early on in the season, we would have lost that game. You know, that was a game we would have lost. The Phils have definitely turned that corner. Wheeler looked a lot better. I think that...
looks amazing. He looks really good.
His start out of all of them, legit, I thought was going to be a no-hitter. I couldn't believe, you know, it was a late night, a week of late nights, because all the games, it was like, I don't like to go to sleep until your position have at least got a hit, so I know I'm not going to miss a no-hitter. But the fact they were going on until 1:32 in the morning, I'm like, this is crazy. And then, of course, I'm not far into the night. I thought, well, I might as well stay up for all of them. So I didn't miss a pitch of the Tigers series. And and then we nearly blew it. Wheeler had the no-hitter going into the eighth inning. And then Nick Maton hits the go-ahead run. And I'm like, in true Philly sports style, I thought, we're going to lose this game. We're going to lose this game, you know. And we pulled it out. Cody Clemens, two errors in that game, but two massive hits. We'll get on to Clemens very shortly.
And notably, they did it against Alex Lang, who is probably going to be a New York Met. I'm putting that one right on the calendar. I don't think the Reds are going to sell Alexis Diaz. And I think that the only other logical option for a closer is Alex Lang. And I think that's who they're going to go for. And very notable for them to take him and turn him into a pumpkin. Cause I mean, he is a really good pitcher. So them having his number early feels pretty important, actually. Yeah. Given what the trade climate's going to look like.
Card there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the Dodgers, who I know they had two bullpen games, but their bullpen's not shabby.
Well, I wouldn't even say that the Michael Grove game was a bullpen game. They sent him out there to start. They just used an opener. I do think that, and also Dodgers bullpen is quite good. It's actually nice that they got to turn it around there. Yeah.
So a lot of people on Twitter and on social media saying, the Dodgers had two bullpen games, but the bullpen's good. You know, it's on paper. It's up there in most of the stats. You know, it's a good bullpen, and bullpen games are still difficult. You're seeing a different pitcher every time. Yep. There's no throw to the game. Of course, the Dodgers have a fantastic offense. We you know, blimmin' bloody Freeman, you know, I hate the guy, but I love the guy.
I love him.
He's such a great player. He's a great guy as well, but God, he's good. You know,
and he's always incredible.
Kills us. I'm happy we don't have to see him until the NLCS. But, you know, Mookie Betts, you know, and Turner, not Turner. Who had no luck against us?
Max Muncy?
Muncy. Managing to... Luckily, keep him quiet was huge as well. But things are going right. And finally, as well, some luck going our way. You know, earlier in the season, we got swept. Only a month ago, we got swept by the same Dodgers team. Muncy is a great player. And just at last, a little bit of luck going our way for once.
Yep.
And things are starting to turn. And we out-hit the Dodgers a few... Okay, Saturdays was a bad game. We out-hit the Dodgers on Friday. We out-hit them on Sunday as well. And it's just promising. The offense really, really picking up. I know Friday's game, I loved it because that was a real great game. You know, the Dodgers were on form. Their offense was on fire. We had to match them. We had, especially when they scored three in the seventh inning and the game was tied, and you thought, uh-oh, you know, the Dodgers are coming. Here they go. They've got the momentum. And the Phils then managed to hold it, a big shutdown inning after, and then in the ninth, Kyle Schwarber, two out magic from the Phillies. You know, how many times
against a really difficult lefty too.
Yeah.
Which just tells you he's turning it around. Yeah. So always good to see.
And by the way, the crowds in this homestand have been unbelievable.
Yeah.
For the Tigers, even the postponed game, you know, that Thursday game, the rearranged game, huge crowd. Mm-hmm. Absolutely huge crowd. The bank was packed over the weekend. It's just great. I love it. Everybody is still so invested in this team, despite the difficult start. Let's get into Ranger Suarez. Oh, I love this guy. I just love this guy. You know, we said when he first came back, he hasn't done spring training. You know, this is all completely his first few starts are spring training to him. You know, and now we're seeing the real Ranger Suarez, and I just love what he gives us. You know, solid, reliable, you know, just, and he's just head down, bang, 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 strike zone, attacking. I love his style. I've heard him compared to a Cliff Lee type of
I actually think that's not a bad comp.
Yeah, yeah. I heard Jack Fritz say it, and I thought, I went back and I looked at it because Cliff Lee is just sort of at the beginning of my time. So it's like, great comparison. Yeah, I can see it. And Alex, Ranger Suarez has been a massive boost to this rotation.
The Cliff Lee comparison is mostly accurate when it comes to the ice that Ranger has in his veins. And you know, you hear guys say that a lot. They talk about, you know, oh, they have ice in their veins. They have no pulse. You know, it's all smooth sailing for them. With Ranger, he just throws what he wants to throw, where he wants to throw it, and then he just says good luck. And that is honestly because he gets hit hard a lot of the times. He's not going to be a guy that you know has the red bubbles on Baseball Savant in average exit velocity and hard hit percentage, right? Like he's getting shellacked at times, but all of the contact is going into the ground. And that is all you really want to see. The guys can't seem to lift the ball off of him because he's just sitting down in the zone, and he tunnels his pitches so well that it just doesn't matter. As long as it's all going in the ground, the defense is going to do the rest, right? And now, granted, the Phillies don't have some stalwart, wall of a defense, but it's good enough to keep the balls from leaking into the outfield, right? So, I mean, he's just amazing. And what I love most about him is that he's versatile, right? He's going to be that guy that should you need him to, he's going to get you those outs in the NLDS, NLCS, you know, he's going to do it for you. So this is kind of the time where I start thinking, you know, when's the extension coming? Because I think that as long as you can buy out the remainder of his arbitration years, you got to get this guy locked up. You know, buy a couple free agent years. Cause you know, you're not going to pay him, you know, 15, 20 million, but if you can get him on like a you know, something similar to what they locked Aaron Nola up for the first time round, something like what Sandy Alcantara just got, you know, like a 5-year, 14 million AAV, you know, you got to wonder if that's in his future, because worst comes to worst, what is he? A guy that you throw into the back end of the bullpen? Like, okay, great. He is so calm and runs with he does not let the moment get to him, and that's the kind of guy that you want just on your pitching staff for a long time. So I'm interested to see if they start looking that direction. If not, you know, during the season, then this off season, because he's getting along in arbitration years.
Yeah, his last outing against the Dodgers was just fantastic. 8 strikeouts against that lineup, which
he's
is
really good.
6 innings. His last 3 games, he's pitched 19.2 innings, allowed just to 4 own runs. 2 of them were against the Mets, which is still one of his early games back. Just despite the 8 hits against him, allowed 1 run against the Nationals, 8 strikeouts, 4 hits, 1 own run, and 6 innings against the Dodgers. You cannot ask any more of that against that lineup as well. It's great, and it gives a boost. I feel Wheeler is coming along. Walker's also coming along. And there's some a little bit, apart from Aaron, a little bit of consistency. The fifth starter is a problem. We're going to see Strom leading off for us tonight. We'll get to that. We'll get to that shortly. We'll do the good stuff first before we address everything else. But Suarez, excellent. You know, the bullpen, again, held. Let's talk Brogdon quickly going down. Alex, your thoughts on Connor Brogdon going down. A guy who was just a month ago was the everyday man. He was being brought in every day. He started the season really well, just slightly lost his way. And are you surprised that he's the guy that's gone down and not Covey and not Hoffman?
I am going to be honest. I think that this is a bit of an indictment on Rob Thompson. I think that we've seen Andrew Belotti get used in the early part of the season very, very consistently, nearly every day. He started struggling a little bit, started losing a little bit of velocity, a little bit of command, went down to AAA. Connor Brogdon supplanted him in that role. He started losing velocity, losing a little bit of command, getting shelled a little bit. He's now down in Lehigh Valley. I think that Rob Thompson is probably overusing a couple of guys and underusing his better guys, which is a problem. But I also think that, you know, it's a long season and Rob Thompson is really trying to spare his guys that are max efforting every time they get out on the mound. You know, but you look at some of these inning splits and you're kind of like, well, why is Connor Brogdon pitching as many innings as or more innings than like Gregory Soto or Jose Alvarado or Sir Anthony Dominguez? Like, you can spread the wealth a little bit here, but I feel like particularly it was an early factor of, you know, the Phillies just getting absolutely demolished by offenses early on in the season. I think it kind of rippled a little bit. But even with like Andrew Vasquez and Jeff Hoffman, like you can use those guys too. Like that they can get some work in. Now Andrew Vasquez, by the way, has got a significant amount of work in. He's you know, I think he leads the team in innings outside of Connor Brogdon. So you know, I would say start spreading the wealth a little bit more, but I'm not surprised with Connor. We've seen this with Connor a few times. Sometimes the conditioning isn't there. Sometimes he's not prepared for a full season sometimes. And that is that's unfortunate because he's so talented.
Yeah, he is. And again, that's been the downfall of rotation woes, is that unfortunately we've had to go to the bullpen so much early part of the season. Yeah, Connor has already looked like not burnt out, but just sort of the fire starting to dim, isn't it? It's just losing that velocity, losing that control. He didn't have the best of returns to the minors either, but they said long season, you know, let's keep him fresh in the minors and bring up, because we know when Connor's on it, he can do a great job.
This is the other thing though. They have to get their SHIT together because listen, Orion Kerkering and McKinley Moore and Junior Marte's looked pretty good. Andrew Vasquez, Jeff Hoffman, these guys are coming for their jobs. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, they're not going to utilize Connor Brogdon or Andrew Belotti. These are guys that have been incredible for them over the last year or 2 years, right? But the Phillies are not short on options, right? And they're going to put their best arms in the bullpen at all times. And right now, Andrew Belotti and Connor Brogdon are and I'll separate Andrew Belotti from this because Andrew Belotti is a completely different story. He kind of caught lightning in a bottle last year and maybe he's just working through some things. But, you know, Connor Brogdon has been that guy that kind of bounces up and down every now and again because he's just not up to snuff conditioning wise. And I don't know if it's conditioning that's the problem. I just know that there have been you know, things published about him prior that you know have said he's not been prepared for a full season quite yet. So you know, I don't know if that's the problem here or if maybe it's just dead arm or what have you. But you know, there are a lot of guys making their way up and they've got to be ready to compete.
Nick Nelson is still rehabbing there as well, isn't he? So you know, it's competitive and it's good because it should bring out some the competitiveness in all of them. You know, Brogdon wants his space back. go out and earn it, kid. You know, go get it. And then we know if Connor comes back and he's back to his best, he's a great addition to the bullpen. As we've already seen at times this season.
I mean, look at the postseason last year.
But a hugely underrated part, by the way, he played in the postseason. He doesn't get enough credit for the role he played. I know we look at Alvarado and how fantastic he was for the majority of the postseason. But I thought, and Dominguez as well, but I thought Brogdon played a massive role and a massive underrated role in that postseason bullpen as well. But talk about next man up, you know, Vasquez and Hoffman. You know, I've just been brilliant. Hoffman, where has he come from? You know, I did not know anything about him until he came up, and then boom, you know, what an impact this guy has made. As the Phils seem to have a great knack of this, don't they? These guys just come up like last year. Just come up from nowhere, you know, the next man up mentality, and they grasp it. There's a real grit and determination in this team and a will to want to play for the Phils. They want to step up, you know, and that's a good sign of good coaching, a good ethos in the team. And, it, you know, how many times have you seen players come up now? Nearly all of them that come up do play a big impact. You know, even Ellis, you know, I know he's gone back down. You know, the Ellis game, you know, he played a part. You know, he got helped us win that game against the Nationals. Huge turning point in the season, as it's proven to be. I just love how everyone who comes up wants it. They want to play in front of these fans. They want, and that's how you can tell that the players are playing for the fans, which sometimes in the sort of barren years, you didn't quite see enough of. You know, do they really want to be here? Do they really want to play? But just get that these guys that come up and these guys in this team now, they want it. They do want this. And that's something I love.
It's a huge testament to the Phillies' ability to identify right now, but also to cultivate. You know, obviously when you get some of these guys, these journeymen that are passing through, like I don't think Drew Ellis is going to, you know, he's going to be a minor league free agent next year, right? He's probably going to get DFA'd at some point. It's just going to happen. But the Phillies, you know, he came into the minor leagues and just absolutely tore it up. That's why he got the call, right? He was just hitting home run after home run after home run. So the Phillies have done a really good job. You're not going to get a lot of time to work with these guys, right? You're not going to be able to give them all the advice in the world. And it takes time to enact change, right? But they've done a great job of calling guys up, utilizing them properly, and giving them, putting them in situations where they're set up to succeed, right? Drew Ellis got the start like 6 out of 8 times while he was up. Like it's very important that you set your players up to succeed. And it's something that I really complained about when Joe Girardi was the Phillies manager, was not setting his players up to succeed. Rob Thompson, the reason that I will not harp on Thompson's managerial style is that he is always giving his guys the right amount of opportunity.
Yeah,
with probably the exception of Josh Harrison, but I don't think that's necessarily on him.
I was going to get to that shortly.
He's been a bit of a redundancy, and it's unfortunate that he hasn't had the opportunity that he deserves.
Another next man up as well, which I'll get to very shortly, is Cody Clemens, who has also just been fantastic. You can't ask any more of Cody. Quickly, game two. There's not a lot to say on Aaron because we've said it. Already, we've said it all season. At times, his stuff is there. It's magic. It's great. You know, you're looking at him going, come on, that's great stuff, Aaron. And then he leaves those meatballs down the middle and every single one is punished, which I don't know how much that, you know, he just seems to be the unluckiest player. You know, he has so many good pitches in a row and then one hanger, bang, out the park.
He just always,
you
know, gets punished. Yeah.
It's so frustrating. It's got to be driving him nuts as well. Bobby Miller for the Dodgers, I thought was fantastic.
What a
pitcher.
He's really good.
His stats are, I was reading up before the game, and his stats are insane. This guy looks absolutely legit. And
why you should all be excited for Andrew Painter, by the way. Because if you think Bobby Miller's good, you got to see Andrew Painter.
We may be after the All-Star break from what some are saying, but you know, you got to give credit to Bobby Miller. You know, and we had our opportunity, second inning, we had our opportunity, and I knew at the time, not scoring in that moment, that was probably the game right there.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be, because Nola, he got lit up. But Nola, I suppose it's nothing we haven't said already this year.
I mean, I'm going to continue to, you know, I'm always a forward thinker. I'm somebody that looks way too far ahead at all times, just because that's how I like to do it. But I'm going to keep saying that this is a good thing. As long as the rest of the Phillies rotation can keep it up, Aaron Nola's price tag is only going down. Like that, if you can eventually end up locking this guy up for like 5 years, $120 million, you do that every time. Like I am honestly, and obviously you don't want to see your guys struggle, and I would love for Aaron Nola to get his payday, but he's going to get his payday either way. The only question is, what is the number on the contract going to look like, right? And
yeah.
I want him to get his money. I want him to get paid. But I also think these struggles are just upping the likelihood that he stays in Philadelphia.
And a part of me thinks, the glass half full part of me thinks, I wonder if this is a bit of reverse from usual Aaron Nola, who usually starts really well. And then, of course, September woes kick in. I just wonder, maybe, is he starting slow? Now, I'll take a slow start, Aaron Nola, and a better finish at Aaron Nola. Yeah. I don't believe this is Nola's year. A part of me is still hopeful that he is going to figure this out and have, hopefully, a really good second half of the season, which would be a bit of a flip from his usual career at the moment with the Phils. You know, he's always first half of the season, you know, an ace, second half just then declines, and September is usually a bit of a disaster. But I will take a slow starter and a great finisher over what we have seen of Aaron Nassum. For me, the jury's still out, because I still see stuff and think he's got it. You know, he's got it. It's just that one pitch, that one mistake, which gets punished every single time. So I'm not down as some people are on Aaron yet. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. But it's so frustrating because we know he's got it. You know, we know he can, and he shows it in every game, signs of brilliance. And then it's all undone with a couple of bad pitches.
All I want to say is that as long as the people that say the awful things that they do about him keep that energy when he is great, I'm fine with it. I'm really okay with it. But it's just ludicrous how this fan base, and I'm not speaking for everybody, but this fan base really loves to hate players who are not the problem. Just be so divisive about guys that are arguably their most consistent players. Like you talk about Rhys Hoskins. Now that Rhys Hoskins is just sitting on the bench with a beard, everybody's like, "Oh, Rhys, I love Rhys. Oh my God, Rhys!" And it's simply because they can't get frustrated that he's, you know, taking pitches down the center of the plate. Like, if you love him, great. I do. If you hate him, keep that energy, and then, you know, own up to it when they actually play really well. And that time is coming for Aaron Nola. It is. And I think
I agree.
And I don't think this is the last of him that you'll see in a Phillies uniform. So if you're going to complain, get used to it. Well, I'm talking about Aaron, but I also, I low key hope that it's the same for Rhys, but you know, I really don't know how that's going to shake out.
I can't discuss.
It's hard to predict Rhys
contracts and stuff, because I'm not ready for the conversation.
Yeah.
I need him here. Game. Oh, by the way, Clemens pitched in that game too. A clean inning. No walks, no runs allowed. Cody Clemens, the ultimate versatile player. Game three. Yes. Good win. Yeah,
just a complete team win. Game. Really good.
We restricted again the Dodgers to 3 runs.
Yeah.
Tyon Walker, 5 innings. Everyone, I saw people questioning it on Twitter. Why did you bring Walker out so early? I agree with Topper. I did not want to see Walker going around that lineup again. I thought
no. Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. But for me, and I know, I think it was a blessing he was on 89 pitches. Good, so he didn't completely wear himself out. Yep. But for me, that was five innings of great Walker. 2 hits. Pull him when we can, because we've seen it go wrong quickly after there. So I agreed with pulling him there. I know he was in a groove, but we've had a tendency this year, from experience, of when players go 4 or 5 times through the lineup, it quickly goes downhill. So I'm glad he did it.
Especially when you have your guy, your best bullpen arms available, just do it. I mean, like, and today's a bullpen game. You're kind of, you know, not throwing this one away tonight, but like, you're not exactly putting your best foot forward tonight. You're probably not going to need your best relievers, because either it becomes an offense game, or you know, you're just trying to keep it close with your guys that are going to eat multiple innings.
I know it's a bullpen game today, but if you've got an opportunity to win the series against the LA Dodgers,
you do it 10 out of 10 times.
Bullpen right there. And Rob Thompson got absolutely nailed for leaving a starter in and then saving the bullpen for a bullpen game when a win was on the card. So they did the opposite this time. He brought Walker out because the win was there. And Soto and Dominguez and Alvarado, although they allowed runs, all played massive parts in keeping that as a, especially Alvarado, my word, he put us through it. How he battled out of that line one run. Clutch, Jose. And
he just needs some time to get his stuff back, but he looks fine. He'll be okay.
Yeah. We know what we get from Jose, you know, and the way he battled through that.
Yeah, he's great.
Not many other pitchers could do that against that LA team as well. That was heart in the mouth stuff. You know, wow. Came through it. Kimbrel saves. And we leave LA with a series win and back one game before below 500. So I know Alvarado won't be used today. I doubt Dominguez will as well. He's been quite heavily used. Kimbrel should be okay. But yeah, bullpen game. You've got to win those games when the opportunity presents, especially against the Dodgers, which is a big series as it was. I want to talk Clemens. Cody Clemens. I posted it on Twitter earlier on about his last 2 weeks. His last 15 games have been a real... What do we do? Derek Hall's due back this week. Do we... For me, keep Cody in. He's riding a hot streak. Defensively, okay, the two errors against the Tigers, but still, he's flashed the glove in this last series. When he steps to plate, you know, I get the feeling every time he steps to plate, he's going to do something. You know, whether it just be an RBI or get on base or he's the walk-off. He's just coming up clutch. He's getting confidence is growing. For me, you can't not play him at the moment. He's hot. You know, he's good.
It is a really hard decision to make because there's a lot of things that contribute here, but paramount to all of them is that, you know, first of all, you got a lot of guys on this roster that are out of minor league options, right? Christian Pache is coming back very soon as well. You know, he is going to take Dalton Guthrie's spot. Like that's what's going to happen. And that is, you know, not because he is a better player, but because he is out of minor league options and Dalton Guthrie is not, you know. You look at Josh Harrison. Josh Harrison is probably going to be on chopping block during the trade deadline. I don't foresee the Phillies, not upgrading from a right-handed hitter perspective, at least on the bench. I just don't see that happening. So, you know, you're probably looking at him going at some point, but it's not going to be for Derek Hall, right? So you really only have one option. Two options, really. You demote Cody Clemens and promote Derek Hall, or you exercise one of Derek Hall's minor league options and you keep him down in AAA. I think giving Derek Hall the consistent playing time down in AAA is not a bad idea.
And he's doing well.
he's doing fine, yeah. And I also think that, you know, Derek is somebody that is also going to lose reps to Bryce Harper. And so is Cody. But Cody was brought in to be a bench guy, right? He wasn't brought in for an expanded role. Derek kind of hit his way into a starting spot last year up until getting hurt. Right. But Bryce Harper is going to be the team's primary first baseman. That's what's going to happen this year. And he's going to bounce between that and designated hitter, depending on how well he does. And I'm not sure when he's slated to start actually taking reps.
No, there's no timeline now, is there?
There isn't, which is confusing because now you're staring down the barrel of the deadline and you're like, well, do they upgrade at first base or do they not? Or do they choose to upgrade in the outfield instead and put Kyle Schwarber at DH time?
Yeah.
But then do they take that risk of Bryce Harper being really bad at first base? Like, it's really murky. It's murky right now. But I think what they probably end up doing is keeping Cody at the major league level and exercising one of Derek Hall's options and letting him get his sea legs back in AAA. As for the eventuality of what happens next, I have no clue. It is a very similar predicament Very similar predicament to what was going on with Matt Meerling and Nick Maton, right? Like,
yeah,
these are guys that were hitting really well in shortened roles, but you can't play them every day because you've got too many guys that, you know, too many veterans, for lack of a better word, that you just have to put in the lineup. So, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing that these guys are succeeding, but it does create a little bit of a logjam.
Yeah, I suppose as well, what happens to Cody next is down to Cody. You know, he stays hot and makes himself undroppable, then we ride with Cody, right? It's a great story as well. I really like the guy. He's a real
and he plays a good first base.
He really does.
Yeah.
How athletic for a first baseman as well. Very. Wow, he's been diving.
Well, he was a third baseman too. He was brought up as a third baseman, right. but now he plays primarily first. And I also think it would really behoove him to start taking some reps at corner outfield. I think that will help him expand his role a little bit. But I will say it does really feel like at least Rob Thompson really likes him. And you know, again, not a guy that you're going to want to start every game for you, but a guy that is definitely valuable in a bench capacity, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Very interesting.
His last 15 games, averaging 2.94, four RBIs, OBP of 0.345, a couple of doubles in there, slugging percentage of 0.342, and of course, an inning pitch, no ERA and no walks. You know, he's been so versatile. It's a good story. You know, I love stories like this. I love this next man up mentality that these players have. And Cody's been a prime example of that. From Cody to a couple of players who have just really come out their shells in June. And Castellanos has all year. What, first of all, Castellanos, what a season. Yeah. What a comeback.
He's incredible.
What a turnaround. What a stud. What a stud this guy is. All-star, he's got to be going to Seattle for the all-star. I love the guy. I love Nick Castellanos. You know, his turnaround, his stats are insane. Yeah. And he's actually giving us more. I know last year it was disappointing, but he's giving us more than what I saw at the Reds. You know, do you think he's better now than he was at the Reds? Was this, because I didn't see him much at the Reds. I didn't know much about Castellanos before he came to the Phils. Is this Castellanos normally, or is it actually better than what Castellanos has been previous?
This is him normally, but what's really and look, there are things that you ideally want to see less of, right? He's still striking out at a pretty substantial clip. You know, he's not exactly touting a huge on base percentage, but that's not why you have him. This is a guy that you signed to, you know, lace extra base hits, and he's slugging. I think he's close to over 500. He's almost there. But look, a lot of the predictive metrics don't adore him, but they also don't think that this is unsustainable. I think you'll likely see him start, you know, maybe some things are going to land in gloves a little bit more. But I also think he's probably going to start shellacking some more home runs. You're probably going to see him turn into a little bit more of a power bat down the stretch. But he's doing great. And I mean, he's a character. He's really, you know, he's doing exactly what you want him to do. Just extra base hits. That's it.
And of course, on the day the I-95 goes down, two-run home run, right on cue. That was a big moment, too.
That was big. He put that game on ice. He did.
Huge for the game. And huge for the field, because we haven't seen much of that at all this year from the team in general. You know, that big insurance that we've needed so many times this year. And that was, again, another real promising step from the Phils.
Yep.
That yesterday was his 30th extra base hit this year. He only had 40 last year. Only two players, this is from Corey Seidman, by the way. Only two players in the MLB this season with as many extra base hits and a high batting average as Castellanos, and they are Ronald Acuna and Freddie Freeman. So he's up there with some elite company. His stats, just looking through, just incredible. Just through the roof.
Yeah.
And not only that, who's joining him up there at the moment? Trey Turner. Hallelujah. Trey Turner, who we kept saying in the previous podcast, he's a renowned slow starter. He is going to figure it out. Hello, Mr. Trey Turner. Mm-hmm. It's turned to June. The weather's hotting up. Trey Turner's hotting up. Here's the real Trey Turner. And he is a joy to behold, Alex.
Yeah, he's been swinging the bat really well. It's really, honestly, it's really nice to see. Because the Phillies have what they really need at the trade deadline, right, is a right-handed hitter that is not a free swinger, right? That is what they lost in Rhys Hoskins, and lo and behold, it's exactly what they need, you know, in their lineup. But a lot of these guys are touting, and I'm not a batting average guy, but a lot of these guys are touting pretty swell batting averages, if that's your thing. You know, you got Bryson Stott hitting.
Stott's having, again, great. He's having a good year.
Bryce Harper's hitting in the 290s. You've got Nick Castellanos hitting over 300. Like, you know, they are making contact, and the contact is landing. Now, whether that is something that's due for regression or not, we'll see. But, you know, you're also due for some progression from Kyle Schwarber, from Trey Turner, and probably more power off the bat of Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto as well. So, you know, I think that just being able to look at Trey Turner and say, oh, great, not some massive hole in the lineup, that's a win, right? Because all you really need from him is to get on base. Because you've got Nick Castellanos that is driving runs home. You've got Bryce Harper, who's been swinging the bat relatively well. You know, Kyle Schwarber's heating up a little bit, hitting some home runs. That's all you really want, yeah. Right?
And Guy is showing, oh, he's just so much better. I'm so happy because, like, yeah, I was getting frustrated like everybody else. Where's the real Trey Turner? He's here now. So, again, like you just said, a massive for the field not to have that huge automatic out, as he was, you know, showing to be time and time again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's big. It's really, really big because he's going to be a huge cog in this offense, right? He is a run generator all by himself. So as long as he feels, you know, proverbially locked in, you know, that's going to be a huge, huge addition to this Phillies lineup.
Absolutely. And big credit to Kevin Long, who has gone through the videos with Trey Turner, because Trey Turner said he didn't feel comfortable last year, said he wasn't quite in his groove, and they've gone through video and videos and videos. And then 2 weeks ago, or even less than that, I think a week and a half ago, he said he and Trey found something. They've evaluated it. They've adjusted something in the swing, and bang, you know, Kevin Long's unlocked whatever he's unlocked, you know, and Trey Turner is now back to being Trey Turner. So huge kudos to both of them for working this out and getting Trey Turner here. It's absolutely massive. Bryson Stott had a good series, a good game yesterday, two hits. Again, Bryson Stott's just super consistent. I know he's had a little dip in May, but overall, Bryson Stott's giving us exactly what we really hoped he would give us, isn't he? And a good D. Okay, he's made a couple of errors, but on the whole, Bryson Stott is a bloody great player.
Yeah,
he really is.
He is. I'm looking at it right now. I'm honestly surprised by it. He is third on this team in FWAR, and a lot of that is coming from the defense. He is absolutely winning a Gold Glove at some point in his career. He is really, really good at second base. And the best part about the whole thing is that his two-strike approach has evolved. He probably has one of the most consistent two-strike approaches in baseball. He leads the league, I believe, still in two-strike hits. And he also, he's mortgaged the power a little bit. But if what you're getting from him is, you know, a guy that's hitting in the high 200s, you know, as long as the slugging percentage stays above 400, and he's probably, I'm not going to lie to you, he's probably going to start getting on base a little bit more as he gets more comfortable with the strike zone. As long as you're getting, you know, some solid, decent contact from him, I don't care where the power goes. You're getting a ton of value from him on defense alone, and then at the plate, because he works the count exceptionally. I'm a big fan, and I like the idea of a double play tandem of he and Trey Turner for, you know, going forward. I think that's really nice.
And I like that Marsh back to back as well. I think that works really well as well. And now Bohm's back. I know Bohm didn't look very good yesterday at all, actually, but I think, you know, he's been out for a while. We give Bohm a pass.
Honestly, ideally, I think Bryson Stott goes back to leadoff. I know this lineup is kind of like the thing that's working right now, so that's why they're going to continue using it. But like, in an ideal world, I think the lineup looks like Stott, Turner, Harper, Castellanos, Schwarber. I think that's like in when everybody's going the way that they should be going, I feel like that's the lineup. And honestly, with that being the lineup, I don't think you really need to add another bat. I think that that is like, and obviously this iteration of the Phillies probably needs another bat. They need some power. They need more patience. But when Bryson Stott is going the way that he's supposed to be going, Trey Turner's going the way he's supposed to be going, Harper obviously picks up power a little bit more. Castellanos stays exactly like this forever and ever and ever. And
please,
Schwarber's not hitting for average, but is launching baseballs. That's probably where you want them.
Absolutely.
So I feel like as long as things continue to move the way that they've been moving, I feel like that's eventually what the lineup looks like. And honestly, that's pretty good. You got JT hitting 6, you got Brandon Marsh 7, Alec Boehm 8, and then 9. I can't say, I know who that would be. I would really love if Johan Rojas didn't go during the trade deadline. I don't know if we've mentioned this on the podcast yet. He leads all professional center fielders, including Major League Baseball. He leads all professional center fielders in defensive run saves in center field. All professional.
Whoa. And he's starting to get warm with the bat as well.
It is. Well, yeah, the bat's been great this year, but he's fast. He plays an incredible center field, but you need, if you are putting somebody like Kyle Schwarber in left field or Nick Castellanos in right field, but I mean, I would really, and in this case, it would be really great to like bump Brandon Marsh to left, Nick Castellanos at right, Kyle Schwarber is your everyday DH, and then
Rojas in there. That's an outfield.
But I mean that would look really nice in terms of like how the lineup shakes out. I really don't know if you need to add. And look, the bats are slim pickings in free agency this year. Now. And that would also not preclude you from bringing Rhys Hoskins back. I think, then maybe you wait a year for Johan Rojas. But even so, I don't know. I think it would be really nice if all of these guys can just continue hitting the way that they are right now at this very moment in time. Absolutely, that lineup would look really, really nice to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And by the way, you talk about insane minor league stats. Jake Cave is just... His stats are off the charts right now.
Which is great, because if the Phillies are going to trade an outfielder, it's probably going to be, Simone Muziotti or maybe even Carlos De La Cruz if they can get the right price.
Yeah.
It's really nice that that they have an option in the outfield down in AAA that is just raking.
And the trade deadline coming up. Yeah, Jack Fritz in the last show, of course, and he was saying that, Griff, he would like to see Griff come up, give an opportunity just to see where we are with Griff. Need to go out and get a fifth starter, or good Griff hold it down at that fifth starter role, especially until Painter comes back? Griff's last outing was good, actually. It was promising.
It was, great.
Stretching him out.
He looked great.
Yeah, and that, let's see. Some I saw today was saying possibly one more minor league outing from Griff, and then we may see him come up and just see where he is before the trade deadline. Assess all the options, because if Griff does give us something in the majors in that fifth spot, and we're not asking for light out innings for 6-7 innings and no run ball games. He's the fifth starter. Three runs allowed, 6 innings. That'd be great. We'll take that from a fifth starter.
I think you'll see less innings from him, but you'll see like way more like dominant stretches. I don't think he's going to be that guy that is constantly churning out quality starts. He doesn't quite have that durability yet, but he is a guy that for 5 innings, he's going to blow you away. Like he is incredible. And listen, he's not going anywhere. Unless the Phillies are, going to shock the world and make some play for, Dylan Cease, or somebody that has a lot of control.
Bieber?
Even Bieber, I don't think they're giving up Andrew Painter, Mick Abel, or Griff McGarry for Shane Bieber. I don't foresee that happening at all. If Johan Rojas gets you that kind of arm, or maybe Justin Crawford, maybe they consider it. But and Bieber also has regression written all over him. And this isn't our trade deadline podcast. It's not our trade deadline podcast. But it is like, you know, these are things that you have to start thinking about. But Griff, you're never going to get the right value for him for based on what his potential is. You're never going to get the right value. You're always going to be selling low. So I think it's better to just bring him up, and then, you know, he's on the 40-man roster. He needs to be on the 40-man roster anyway, because look, he's going to pitch meaningful innings at some point this season. That is going to happen. Whether that's out of the bullpen or out of the rotation remains to be seen. But look, if they can get a healthy Andrew Painter and a healthy Griff McGarry, and look, a healthy Mick Abel, who also had a great last outing, what do they need to add? Like a Lucas Giolito or Lance Lynn or, you know, anybody like that?
This is true. Because my feelings on the trade deadline is, if you're going to get a pitcher, either go out and get a really good pitcher or don't bother. And let's see what Griff and Painter can do. Because like we keep saying, this is our window. We don't want like a immediate, like a Bieber in. I want a really good pitcher. Like, either go for it. If we're going to trade pieces, if we're going to trade pieces of the farm, let's get a really, really good starter in.
And we're not talking about filling a you know, bringing in another ace, right? We're talking about, because that the market is not going to have that. Marcus Stroman is not an ace. Shane Bieber is, listen, I'm not going to be that guy that just points to Baseball Savant pages and says, you know, oh, he's going to be bad. But like Shane Bieber, based on what you would have to pay for him, I don't think I would take Shane Bieber over Andrew Painter. I don't think I would take Shane Bieber what Mick Abel is eventually going to be. I'm not sure I would even take Shane Bieber over what Griff McGarry is going to be. Like, you are not looking to fill a 1-2-3 hole here. You're looking to fill a 5 starter, a 5th starter hole, right? And to, based on what the market's going to look like, you're going to have to give up something really substantial for that. Now, listen, if we're talking about getting a rental that like maybe you see some potential in and their value isn't quite there, like Jack Flaherty, Lucas Giolito, maybe they see something they can fix in Lance Lynn, like and you can get that for like just money or like, you know, a couple of flyers, sure. There's nothing, you can never have too much pitching, right? That's just, and you can do exactly what the Phillies did with Bailey Falter and Noah Syndergaard, right? You can run a 6-man rotation. That's something that you can do.
And it worked well, you know.
And it keeps your guys fresh. Yeah. It keeps them fresh. So, listen, it's. I'm not saying don't go out and get a starter, but why would you feel the need to go out and get like a high-priced rental like Marcus Stroman? Why would you trade, you know, 7 years of Mick Abel or Griff McGarry for 1 year of Marcus Stroman? Like, that just doesn't make any sense. So, particularly if you can keep these guys healthy, depending on what the Painter reports look like, things like that, I don't know. I don't really see them, you know, going out and making some huge splash. Now, if Dylan Cease is available, well, then I say, okay, well, maybe I'm willing to trade, you know, 7 years of Griff McGarry for 3 years of Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease was arguably, you know, supposed to be the AL Cy Young winner last year. That I don't mind. But when we're looking at rentals here, or looking at guys that are probably primed for a pretty steep regression, it doesn't really make much sense.
And the Phils head west. Yes. And I'm nervous. I was banging the B word about we're back yesterday, but the more I've focused on this series coming up, the more I'm like, and the A's are getting hot. They've just won 5 straight. Typical, as we're due to play them. The D-backs have also won 5 straight. This is a good team. It's a fun team. The D-backs are, so they've won 40 games already, you know, in the AL West, where the Padres and the Dodgers were meant to rule supreme. The D-backs have come from nowhere this year. I keep waiting for them to fall down, and they're still there. And they've got a complete package. You know, they look so good right now. It's going to be tough. Strom versus Henry, Wheeler versus Davis, Suarez versus Kelly, and then Nola versus Nelson. Their starting pitching ERAs aren't great. You know,
they're dodging Zach Gallen. That's the big thing.
And that's massive.
They are dodging Zach Gallen. Merrill Kelly seems to always have their number, but he also is just like, I can't say that he's not good. He's had a great last year and a half. And good for him. What a great comeback. But in terms of pitching matchup, the Phillies have a huge edge in this series.
Massive
edge. And particularly in terms of the bullpen as well. Diamondbacks bullpen is their weakest link. So you hope that they can kind of string together some good at-bats, get the starters out of the game early. You know, last time they faced Tommy Henry was just awful. You can't let a soft tossing lefty make you look feeble. You just can't. So, but with Nick Castellanos swinging the bat the way that he is, you know, Trey Turner heating up, you've got some good righties in the lineup here. They will hopefully, you know, do their job against a soft tossing lefty.
And the promising thing is, like we just said earlier on in the show, that the Dodgers swept us earlier on, and we've bounced back so well.
Yep.
I feel with the offense, if the offense can stay hot and the pitching stays as good as it has been, today could be difficult. Strong bullpen. Let's see how many innings we can get out of him. Let's see how much. I don't know. Today's tough. Even though it's Henry. Henry's ERA is 4.37. He's 3-1. Davis is 4.68, 1-1. Kelly's having a good year, 2.92 ERA, 8-3. And then Nelson, 4.95. He's 3-3 on the year. So, all those pitchers are beatable. You know, the bullpen is not great. Offensively, though, they've been racking the runs. And they never say die. They are a tough team to knock down. They're never out of it. The D-backs have had quite a few comeback wins this year. One of the highest in the league. This could be a fun series. You know what? The Phils do. I know they're at 40 wins, the D-backs, but this current Phils team, you know, I know the West Coast is a horrible, horrible area for the Phils. Phoenix is not good for Philly sports in general. Arizona's not a good place for Philly sports in general. But I'm quietly confident that we can split this series, which would be massive going into the A's series, where we should at least win that series.
The Phillies have got to play good defense this weekend. Or this weekend, this week. They just have to. Because, listen, they are going up against the Diamondbacks, who are going to run all over them. Corbin Carroll is unbelievable. They have six guys on this team that can steal a bag at any time, right? Like, they've got Corbin Carroll. Geraldo Perdomo is, you know, not super quick, but he's savvy on the base paths. Josh Rojas is pretty quick. Jake McCarthy is, you know, coming into this season, Jake McCarthy was like predicted to be have an absolutely huge year, like steal like 60 bags. This team is going to run all over them. They have got to play good defense. Luckily, JT behind the plate gives them a little bit of an edge there, but they also, I mean, they cannot let Lourdes Gurriel Jr. destroy them like he did last time they played.
Yeah, that name.
But there's a lot of scary bats here. There's Lourdes Gurriel.
There really is.
Ketel Marte, Christian Walker. There's a lot of spooky bats.
I'll tell you what, if these new rules have really favored one team, it has been the D-backs, because they get the ball in. Now the shift's gone. They constantly, from what I've seen, they always get the ball in play. They love a shot down
they're
the middle.
Scrappy. They're very scrappy.
Big time, and they steal it. The base steals have been through the roof for the D-backs, and they just capitalize and have hit the ground running. It's a big road trip. It's because the momentum we've built in June so far has been great.
Yeah.
And the West Coast have constantly, throughout our time as Philly fans, have constantly been momentum killers. But if we can just win two in Arizona, win two in Oakland at least, and come back with four wins out of seven, which will take us to 500 coming back home for a big series against the Braves and the Mets coming up, it would be huge. It really would be huge. We cannot undo the good work we've done so far in June. You know, the last week has been fantastic. And typically the season, after a good week, follows a terrible week, because the Phils don't do things by halves. It's either good or it's bad. I just need the Phils to please not get wiped out by the D-backs. Just please just split that series at least. Please don't lose to the Oakland days. Just please come back with a 4 out of 7. Great. Perfect. 500 back home, and our home record is fantastic. And then I fancy us against the Braves and the Mets at home, by the way. And I really think then we can kick on, because the schedule then gets a little bit interesting. Actually, after we've got the Nats coming up, the Rays are on the horizon. By the way, if we can get to August at 500, then I think we can really keep looking, and I'm looking far ahead, but that August is very, very kind, yeah. Schedule-wise. Of course, we know it's the Phils. We know nothing works like that, and we'll probably come out of August with a losing record. But I just think August, this week is massive for the Phils. You know, August really, not season-defining, but would be a huge week in the season because we haven't been able to build momentum after a good week we've just had. If we can do that this week, it would be huge. Get to 500. Get the bank rocking for when the Mets and the Braves come to town. The Braves are a long way ahead. They've been on, annoyingly, the Braves have been on a good run the same time as us. You know, we just can't claw the gap to them. The Marlins are coming up as well. That's going to be a big series the way they've been going. But we're 1.5 games out the wild card. If we can get back to the bank next week in the wild card places, you know, momentum then is really carrying, and we know what happens to this team when we really get going. So I just feel this week is crucial. Alex, 7 games. What are you saying?
I actually feel really optimistic about the upcoming stretch. I think that if you're going to look for any time for Christian Pache to be activated, I think it's probably for the Oakland series. I think that they can afford to run out a less good lineup and put an incredible center fielder. That Coliseum outfield is enormous.
It's vast.
If they can, so it would be really nice for them to get a really good defender out there to really shore up that defense. Because the A's can run too. You know, Estuary Ruiz is really quick.
They're picking up wins. Yep.
So yeah, exactly. So I think that as good as I feel, I think I'm only going to go with like an optimistic 4-3. I think that they probably, well, no, I can't really say that because I think they win this Diamondback series. I think the pitching.
Oh, Alex, let's go.
No, I do. I think that the pitching advantage is enough to where, like, I think that this offense, the way that it's been going, can probably do pretty well. And then, you know, I'm not too scared of Merrill Kelly either. This team is loaded with lefties that are swinging hot bats right now. So, you know, I'm feeling optimistic. So I guess I'll say, wow, can I really say 5-2? I guess. Because I think they win this Diamondback series. At the very least, they split it. I feel, knock on wood, because obviously when I say that, that's going to be. But then I think they at least take 2 out of 3 in Oakland. And if they lose this series with the Diamondbacks, they're going to sweep Oakland. That's just how it works. So, I'm going to go 5-2.
For the first time this season, Alex, I trust the Phils to get this done. I know we're at the West Coast, and I know Arizona is a house of horrors, but I just, like you, I think this offense is rolling right now. The bats are hot. The bats are rolling. This time last year, we had that revival and then that series against the Brewers at Miller Park, which we won and crushed Hader and destroyed him.
Yes.
And that was a big turning point. And previously, Miller Park was not a place we went well at. It was not a good place for the Phils. We overturned that. A huge turning point in the season that was. And I just feel this series, and I feel it strongly, that this series is also going to be that turning point where the Phils get above 500. Then we'll go to the Coliseum. I know Oakland are going well right now, but I really, really feel that we will win that series and possibly sweep that as well. If all this doesn't happen, somebody pick me up on Sunday night because I'm going to be on the floor again. I trust the Phils. I trust the Phils are going to get this done. I'm going to say I expect 4, but I'm hopeful for 5.
Mm-hmm. I think a win tonight would be a really big, really big vibe creator for the road trip. So it would be really cool if they could win tonight.
And the Phils haven't won many game ones in series this year at all.
No,
not many at all. So it would be huge.
It would be really nice. And I honestly think that as long as they can get, you know, a good 2-3 innings out of Matt Strom, you know, sending Vasquez, and I'm assuming this is what it's going to be. It's probably going to be Strom to either Vasquez or Hoffman to Marte, if I had to guess. So I think as long as Strom can get them started on a good note, keep them off pace, I feel like that's a pretty good. So you can only hope. You can only hope.
Yet again, Alex. Yet again, I'm leaving a podcast full of hope. You know, am I going to sleep tonight? No, it's a 2:40 start. I wasn't gonna watch the second half, but now I've got to set my alarm.
Just do what Angels UK does. Yeah, just set your alarm for 2 in the morning.
I'm going to have to watch. I've just took myself into it. I'm going to have to set my alarm, 2:40 a.m. I'm going to go to bed now. I'm going to edit this up, go to bed now. I'm going to wake up at 2:40 and I'm going to, I'm locked in. I'm absolutely buzzing for this week. Alex, if like I said, if it doesn't go right, guys, send help because I'm not going to be in a good way.
Well, I think you could probably afford to, like, you know, maybe sleep until 5 and just catch the end.
Well, my alarm goes off. I'm on the earliest this week at work, actually, so I'll be up at 5 anyway. So I might set it for 4:00, you know, that extra hour early. So I catch the second half of the game. I think that's.
I'll be looking forward to seeing you announce your presence online.
It will be there, especially if we're winning. Oh, it's going to be big time.
Excellent.
Oh boy. Right. Guys, thank you. Thank you for listening, guys. That is a wrap. And I hope you are now feeling as confident as upbeat as we are. I think I'm too confident because I'm hopefully not gonna get hurt. No. Glass half full. Guys, as ever, yeah, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching if you're watching the YouTube channel. We will see you next week when the Phils return to Philadelphia above 500 in the wildcard places. And we're about to, before the Braves and the Mets come to town, baby. It's getting crunch time in the season. I'm buzzing. I'm up for this week now. So from me, Dave Shaw, it's Ring the Bell. And from Alex,
Ring the Bell, Dave.
See you next week, guys. Bye-bye.